and welcome to One Rep at a Time, your friendly fitness podcast from Cult Fit. Each week, we get deep into one aspect of health. We speak to experts on physical fitness, nutrition, stress, and sleep, often speaking to trainers, doctors, athletes, entrepreneurs, all to help you become a healthier and happier version of yourself. My name is Deepak Gopalakrishnan. The internet calls me Chuck. I'm going through my own fitness journey and I'm perpetually curious, putting me in the right position to host the show for you. Let's get cracking with today's episode. Those of you who know me might know that I love cycling. It's one of my favorite forms of exercise. Not just that, it's one of my favorite modes of just relaxing, being with myself. You know, it's a great way to finish a bunch of pending podcasts and admire the nature on the outskirts of Mumbai. Yes, even Mumbai has a fair bit of nature. I've done several 100-kilometer and 50-kilometer rides in and around the city, and I thoroughly love cycling. But I wouldn't say my approach is necessarily very scientific, and as I get older and wiser, hopefully, I am of the view that you should know what you're doing with respect to fitness rather than just saying, hey, let's do this, it's fitness after all, and so on. So, rather than me evangelizing cycling, what I want to do is speak to someone who knows a thing or two about the sport and coaching people as well. I'm speaking to Mithin Thakkar, one of India's best cycling coaches. We talk about cycling, how to get started, how it helps you gear, how it helps you mentally, what a coach does, so on and so forth. So let me set a little more context for those who are listening in. Mithin is a level 3 certified cycling coach. And in case you're wondering, that is the highest level. He runs a company called Cyclozeal that offers various kinds of coaching. There might be a very basic customized online plan with a schedule. There could be slightly more involved training like a personal or group training sessions. And then there's stuff that's more technical for people who really want to, like, say, do a real technical ride or a really, really long ride. And we're talking something way, way more than 50 kilometers over here. So whether you're looking to just exercise better or if you're looking to do something more competitive, Cyclozeal are your guys. Mithin sir, welcome to One Rep at a Time. It's great to have you on and it's great to be doing this in person. This is actually the first interview with One Rep at a Time that I'm doing in person. So it's quite interesting to do this.
Yeah, I'm quite excited to be on One Rep at a Time with you, Deepak. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. And another reason why I'm looking forward to this, of course, is that you had coached me at one point of time long back, and which is how I got in touch with you, which is how I got to know of you. And when I had got into cycling a very long time back, 2013-14 or so, and when I wanted to step up my game, people in the cycling community in Bombay said that, hey, there's this guy called Mithin that you should check out. And I still remember, I forget which event this was, where one guy said, that's Mithin, you know, pointing out like completely starstruck bunch of riders in the bus just looking outside at who's this guy. I said, okay, I should make a note of this. And it was a pleasure doing that program under you. I think I did only a small program, but it changed the way I looked at cycling. And I'd like to think that it still had an impact on the way even I ride today. So thank you for that. And thank you once again for coming onto the show. I've been keen on doing something related to cycling on this show for a very long time, since it's been a passion of mine. And there's been a lot of other aspects of cardio, of sports, of strength, etc. that you covered on the show. Really wanted to talk about cycling as well. So yeah, I think a great way to start this, Mithin, would just be to talk about your story. I think some of the nicest parts of the shows that we've done was when the interviewee really takes a step back and talks about their own journey. So let's just start from there. How did a young Mithin get into cycling and what led to where you are today?
It's quite nostalgic, to be very fair and honest. Remembering when you had joined Cyclozeal at that time, and we have always been saying that our tagline has always been difference between riding and cycling. And I'm glad to hear and get the feedback after so many years of you being into the program. I think you had joined in for about 6 months know, just get a basics of cycling, right, and everything. And we had done a bike fit and stuff at that time. And I'm glad that it was meaningful for you at that time. And that's exactly has been my goal, to, you know, try helping my riders in the best possible way, to the best resources that we have, and so on and so forth. So yeah, again, putting me back into my old days when I started cycling, of course, we all do, when, you know, बच्चे रहते हैं, वी वॉन्ट टू डू इट इन द बिल्डिंग एंड वी वॉन्ट टू रियली लुक गुड ऑन द बाइक एंड सो ऑन. सो इट ऑल स्टार्टेड व्हाइल आई वॉज अ किड. बट थिंग वॉज दैट एट दैट टाइम आई माई ग्रैंड मॉम शी यूज टू स्टे इन मटुंगा and she had a building which had a parking lot and everything, and that's where I first started balancing my bike. I first started, or there was a chaukidar or a driver of some gadi, and he taught me how to ride, and my cycle was always at my mom grandma's place. So I used to look forward to get to her. That was my motivation to get there, because I would get to ride my bike. And later as we grew up, I remember by the time I was in fifth standard, at that time it was quite normal. I would ride to school, and we were not as apprehensive as parents as we are right now at that time. Mm. My parents were, you know, quite bindas with that matter. That chalo theek hai, abhi fifth mein aa gaya bachcha, secondary mein aa gaya, to chalo usko cycling karne dete and let him go to school. So I had that independence doing that, and to an extent I misused that independence a little. Or more than little. So after school hours, I knew that I had to be home by 2:30. So school used to get, you know, bell baj jati thi about 1 o'clock, and by 2, if I have to be home, I would ride my bike with my school bag and in my uniform. From Bandra, I would head towards Andheri Gold Spot. At that time, there was this Gold Spot factory. I would ride till there. I would always be looking at my watch, and I would return back on the bike and should be there by 2, otherwise my parents will get worried and so on and so forth. So yeah, I think it all got wired at that time to race against the clock at the very early
age.
I was not racing as in any kind of categories of racing, but yeah, I was always racing against the clock so that I can get back in time. And cycling was the only activity, I would say, among all the other sports I did well as compared to my peers and my friends. And I think that became the reason why I was getting a lot of appreciation and acknowledgements from people I used to ride with. And that kept me going on, that little appreciation, that little push that helped me to be with it. And I enjoyed cycling even then and even now. I enjoy that being on the bike and that independence of that just makes me feel happy. So did it at that early age. It was only after I got into college did I get into racing. And it was the intercollegiate, first the college level race, which used to happen from Bandra to Borivali and back. And I happened to win a place, got selected for my college to represent it at the Mumbai University intercollegiate. I won a few medals and we were selected to go for inter-universities all India. And at that time तो ऐसे था कि अपन अपन इच फास्ट है, अपने से कोई फास्ट है ही नहीं, वैसा यू नो दैट डायलॉग अपन इच भगवान है टाइप का, वैसा वाला फीलिंग था. एंड द हैप्पी रियलाइजेशन रियली स्ट्रक व्हेन वी वेंट देयर एंड वी सॉ दैट हाउ बैड वी आर.
ओह ओके.
हाउ रियली बैड वी आर. लाइक एंड वी जस्ट हैड अ बेसिक साइकिल, वी डिड नॉट रियली हैव द नो हाउ ऑफ द स्पॉट, एंड एज वी थॉट लाइक वी रियली आर गुड बिकॉज वी आर स्मैशिंग एवरीवन ऑन द स्ट्रीट and whoever we met. But that's where I really got introduced to cycling. That really opened my vision to, you know, how much more, how much better I have got to get from there on if I have to get a chance to be even, you know, with that respectable performance to match that performance at that time. So cycling competitive journey started then from ideally from the inter-universities, and I represented Mumbai universities 4 times. I've won medals at the Mumbai university levels. Like I have a total of, I think, 9 golds and 2 bronze and 2 silvers. But at the All India University, I tried my level best. But yeah, couldn't get into the top 3 over there.
And from there, how did you make the leap to coaching?
Coaching was, I never thought that I'm ever going to be in sports at that time. My school friends, even today when we meet, they'll say, Miten, never thought that you would be in sports, because I was an outstanding student in the school, always standing outside the class being punished. and on sports days, like because of my outstanding activities, that is standing mm-hmm. outside the class, I was always, you're not supposed to be there. It was a punishment for me. I never got that exposure during my school days. And when I got into cycling, I got into it after this inter-university happened. I got very serious with it, and then I was riding with senior riders at that time, and I learned a lot from them. So from mm-hmm. each rider I was riding with, I had something new to learn. That kept me mm-hmm. excited. And it was in 1999 when I first won my first big race, which was the Vashi Khapoli Vashi 110 kilometers race. And I think we clocked less than 3 hours for that 110 kilometers. That's I amazing. Don't quite precisely remember, but it was way back in 99. Remember the date yet? Jan 3rd, 99. And it was after that race, one of the parent, Mr. Sanjay Karkhanis, he approached me to help her, you know, Amrita Karkhanis, unke daughter ko help karne ke liye. And at that time, like, okay, I can help, you know, I've been into this sport. And she was a junior talent at that time. So, and she was really cute and very graceful. And I liked the way she was riding, and the approach of, and the support as parents, Sanjay sir, was giving to Amrita. And I said yes to her, and that's how, but at that time it was never like, I will get into coaching. Mm-hmm. It only struck me, I would say in 2010, when until then my being a mentor or a coach was limited and restricted to only Amrita. She happened to win 14 mm-hmm. national medals at the, you know, across age categories from where she started to all the way she was up to the senior level. And that was quite rewarding to see her, you know, get that glory and shine with those medals and the smile. And it was back in 2010 when I was actually just as a spectator. I was not even a spectator. I was on a route where this India's first cyclothon happened.
Hmm.
I remember Sir Eddie Merckx had come down to India because it was a UCI 1.1 race. And that time Salman Khan was the brand ambassador for that cyclothon. So there was a lot of hype about that cyclothon. And the green ride happened to pass the route which I was on, which was the hill road.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, looking at the flood of people, like, you know, riding, and there's in so much of excitement, energy, zeal hai, pura ekdam. But I could also sense that someone is riding in improper position. Their saddle height is completely off. Someone is riding in the gears that they should be riding in. They were either riding too low and jumping on the saddle, bouncing on the saddle, or they were just too sluggish because they were riding mm. too high a gear. And that time, the first time it was that the thought triggered in that if someone should make them aware. They are so passionate and they are not even aware the blunders that they are doing and how it can harm them. But at that time I was working with JP Morgan, so I had no reasons to think that I would be getting into it. So someone should help karke. But it was, of course, I wanted to be in the sport, and I've always had the passion for this sport. So it was in 2011 or around end of 2010 or so, I got a call from Durgesh, my very close best friend who helped me a lot in my cycling days. We would go drafting, and he was the reason I actually got into cycling. There is another big story behind that. But yeah, Durgesh, he called me from New Zealand. He was settled in New Zealand. He happened to know someone who was a 11, 12 year old girl, and if I could help her with her cycling. And I hesitantly said yes, because at that time I was working in, as per Eastern Standard Time, I was working with JP Morgan, so we had to follow that shift times. And after finishing off your shift at about 2:33 a.m., you know, you really want to go back home and crash. But because I still wanted to be with the game, I said, like, okay, I'll give it a try. I was dar ke maine haan bola ki try karte chalo. Because there were a few challenges that Durgesh had told me about, which actually excited me that, okay, I want to be a part of this. And I started training that girl, and in the very same year, she happened to win a bronze medal wow. and a gold medal. And the following year, she again won another 2 medals at the nationals. And in the meantime, because I wanted to help her better, I had also enrolled in an online course, which was offered to experienced cyclists, a level 3 certification course from ABCC in UK, that is Association of British Cycling Coaches, and I'm still a part of that prestigious association, which completed 50 years recently. And that gave me a lot of courage that, okay, now if I want, I can consider this as an option. And cycling was growing at that time. So it was with a lot of contemplation of thoughts at that time. Kare, nahi kare. And I had to think about my family. I already had a wife and a son, and I'm the only son. So being the only supporting member or the breadwinner in the family, I had to be very careful with my choices. But I had a lot of support from my family. My dad, who supported me tremendously in my cycling days. My wife, she has been like absolutely supportive. Because if it was not for them, I wouldn't have taken this plunge. They gave me the courage to, okay, but then just give it a try. And back in 2012, I decided to quit my job, and I decided to quit it on a day which was American Independence Day, and call it my Independence Day as well. So that's how I took a plunge, and it already I had by that time a few riders I was training. And it's been an eventful journey. Like, it has been so many riders I have been able to assist with their cycling goals, and I learn a lot from them. I get inspired from them, by them, and with their actions and stuff. And of course, like, it may seem that our riders have achieved great heights, like 50 national medals. It's huge, man. And race across Americas in team of two, team of four, and then a solo. That's huge. But all those riders who were part of my, since the time I got into coaching, they made me better as a coach as well.
Right.
I was doing blunders at that time. But over a period of time, it got more and more refined. And today, I can say that we have come a long way. I still have a lot to learn. I still keep myself updated. I'm always excited to learn something new. And more than that, I'm more excited that all those learnings, if I'm able to have my riders to apply that, how well it is going to benefit them, and it will give them that unfair advantage.
Yeah.
They had some extra knowledge on how to apply that and, convert it into a medal or a better performance or personal best, and get them faster is my objective now.
This is wonderful. Like, what a journey from beating the clock when you were in fifth standard to coaching a team in the recently concluded national games. So it was quite interesting to the listeners of this show that we wanted to record a few months ago, but Mithen said that he was actually going to coach a team in the national games. So at that point of time, his medal tally was 49, and quite interesting now that's made his way to the half century. So on behalf of the entire One Time at a Time family, congratulations on that, Mithen. I think that's a fantastic achievement and a validation in some sense of the decision that you took all those years ago.
Thanks, Deepak, for the congrats. I would only say I'll receive it on behalf of all my riders who have been putting in a lot of sweat, blood and tears into it. And National Games was interesting. Like, I got a call that, we want you to be here for as a coach for Team Gujarat. And I had been a part of Team Gujarat as an expert coach for Sports Authority of Gujarat since 2016, and we have seen that the performance levels go up drastically for Team Gujarat. And state associations, Gujarat State Cycling Association, has been fabulous. So I got a call from Bharat sir, who is the heading this, and Solanki sir. They were absolutely like, whatever you need, we want you to be here for those 20 days. And it was quite an honor for me to be a part of the state team, because that was the first time that I was as a coach officially with a team which is representing a state. And it was National Games, which was happening in Gujarat. I have been a part of Team Gujarat as an expert coach for Team Gujarat. I knew those players from the past. They've all been from junior levels to now senior levels, and I've seen their performance evolve over time. It was quite an exciting thing for me to be there.
Right. And it's on a slightly lighter note, it seems like this podcast has a habit of inviting coaches from or rather team personnel from Gujarat. One of our previous guests was Dr. Rizwan Khan, who was a team physio for the Gujarat Titans of the IPL, who runs a very good sports clinic called Kinspire in Andheri, where I go to get my sports massages from. So it's interesting. We see a certain trend over here. I wonder which other who's the next coach from a team in Gujarat that's going to come onto the show. So this is fascinating, Nitin. Let's now talk about your journey is so fascinating that this first question we've actually spent a lot of time on. Let's talk about cycling itself now. And this is, like, I know a very basic question and something that a person with your credentials, it feels almost sheepish to be asking. How is cycling good for a person? What are the benefits that come to the body?
Well, there are, we all know that, you know, doing any workouts is going to benefit you in all possible ways. Some kind of physical activity is always good, and I will always advocate cycling because I'll have my biasness to cycling more than any other activities. But keeping that aside, there have been a lot of studies which have been done on benefits of cycling, from cardio benefits to, you know, mobility and so on and so forth. But one thing which intrigued me the most was, you know, a study which shows that the blood flow to your brain increases by about 28% when you're doing this cardio activity, even for 30 minutes. So I try to emphasize on this because, you know, a lot of times I see that parents are reluctant to have their kids do that sport, and they want them to ride and they want them to do everything. But as a sport or as an activity, अरे क्या होगा कुछ नहीं होता है नहीं but it really helps them, even if they are during that examination period, doing little of cycling is only going to help them with more oxygen in their brain and get better scores, with something which we all want to have them to do. Of course, it improves your motor skills and coordination, which stays with you for a very long time. It's a life skill. It's not something that आपने आज सीखा और कल भूल गया. It will stay on for a very long time. So just to name a few, like I'm sure there is a huge list of why one should do cycling. But most importantly, it's fun. Yeah,
it's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. I'd say a majority of the cyclists who are going to be listening to this, they'll second this. It makes you happy.
Yeah. In fact, I myself will second that. One of the reasons I love cycling, even in a difficult city like Mumbai, is the fact that it takes you to parts of the city that you typically don't tend to see, which you may not be able to access by, unless you have a vehicle of your own. But even then, there are, for example, some of my favorite parts of the city. And by city, I'm going to be a little generous and extend the boundaries a little bit. The Ghodbandar Road and the view from that view of that creek, some certain points in Sanjay Gandhi National Park, which are absolute delight. And they say that a cyclist sees the road very differently my memory of Eastern Express Highway is always on a cycle, hardly ever on a car, because that side of town I never need to go to for work or for personal reasons. So to me, it's very calming. I think cycling for me, and I'm sure you will back this up as well, it's a very calming activity. It feels like this is your world. This is, you know, just you and your thoughts. People around you with that quiet appreciation of, okay, this guy seems like he's coming from, you know, a long distance. Sometimes even cops stopping you and asking you, what's the cycle that you're riding is very interesting. How long have you been, from where are you coming from? And when they say, even if for us, it seems like a small distance to do 20, 30 kilometers. But when they say, oh, you come all the way from Goregaon to this place. In fact, one of my favorite stories of cycling was when I was going up to a lake somewhere in somewhere along the extended Western Express Highway. I'm not mentioning the name because I don't think cyclists are actually supposed to go there. But it was a closed off gate, and they say the security guard said no, people are not allowed over here. And I said no, listen, I've cycled all the way from Goregaon for this, which is a good 50 kilometers away. He's like, acha, chalo, TK, since you come cycling all the way, with emphasis on that word cycling, it would have been very different if I was on a bike or a car or something. So I don't know, that's just it's just a very small personal story for me. But I'm sure you'll attest to that, that it's a very calming experience, maybe even gets you closer to nature in some ways.
More about it, yes, it is a very calming, it gets closer to yourself. And of course then you start appreciating and having gratitude to all the abundance that you are surrounded with, which you'd normally miss out when you are just driving or riding a motorbike. When you are in a harsh to reach to some place, here you know that you are powering the bike, right. So you will stay within your limits and not be pushing really hard to pace yourself in a way that you will sustain it. But yeah, there is a lot of difference between when we are riding and when we are cycling. So again, coming back to the theme that keeps me in business is, when we are riding, we are pedaling and we are just appreciating the nature, and if you are doing it right and everything. But when you are doing cycling, there is so much more, as an activity, as a fitness activity. It's not just, it's way beyond just pedaling and balancing your bike and going from point A to point B.
Absolutely. And for those listening, apart from the, I think both Mithian and I have veered off into a slight philosophical discussion, a more practical reason could also be the less impact on joints. For instance, I myself got into cycling actually after an accident in 2011, where I had a hip replacement, and my doctor told me, do whatever activity you want, but any sport that you take up cannot impact the hip, which actually narrowed it down to either cycling or swimming for me, really, because there's hardly anything else that I could actively take up. And then I said, chalo, let's get into cycling. And from there, that's
cycling really being a low impact game. Yes, it is supposed to be soft on your joints and so on. But yes, there are injuries which can happen even if you're cycling, if you're not doing it right.
Right.
So there are possibilities of injuries and overuse injuries, or if you do not have the positioning done right and everything, your knee can start giving you tinkles. So it's not to scare anyone, but yeah, it's just to give a heads up that cycling is a low impact activity. It can be done at any age, but now with there is a lot of awareness about getting the bike positioning and right, as compared to when you had started and when I got into this cycling coaching full time. So do get some bike fit suggestions, or in fact you can just go onto our website. There is a page which I have sharing best practices. Cyclozine.in is the website name. And you can just go through it, and there are some basic tips which I think will help the riders to understand the biomechanics and get it right and keep them injury free, or at least mitigate the chances of injury.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we'll provide that link in the notes of this episode, along with a few other links. The Cyclozine website actually has a wealth of information which is definitely worth linking out to. Actually, I wanted to speak a little bit on this, which is the things that people should keep in mind before buying a bike itself. What are the considerations? What are the factors? Suppose somebody were to come to you and ask, Mithian, I know, again, this is a very broad question, and you also have a guide for this, which I will be linking out to. But when somebody says, what bike should I buy? Really, it's a very basic question, and they are coming from the point of view of, hey, I had some cycle in school. Maybe it was 5 gear or no gear at all. Now that I'm taking it up as a fitness activity, what should I get? Where do we go from here?
It's surely a basic question, but not with a simple answer.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So it all depends on what kind of cycling that the person who is asking you this question, he's trying to visualize in his mind that what is he going to be doing, whether he's just going to do it for commuting, or is he buying it for his kid who is just going to be commuting from one point to the other, to school and back, and to classes and back. Then depending on those kind of factors, so And cycling is a combo of, again, of, you know, getting the cycle which is appropriate to the kind of needs that you have. So on our website, again, like, we have tried to correlate it with the kind of cars that we use today. And there are MTB bikes which are with the thicker tires, which normally are the most sold ones, like the SUVs. Then we have hybrids, which are more preferable and suitable for city kind of riding. And then we have road bikes, which are with those racing setup, that round handlebars, right, and gears. And all of these bikes, they come with gears. So for someone who is getting into fitness, I would recommend go for a bike which, firstly, think about the distance that you want to ride. If you are going to be riding, thinking of riding longer distances as you progress with your fitness, and if you have that motivation to begin with, then consider investing in a hybrid or a road bike, which will allow you to go longer distance at the same effort. And let's say if you are just for commuting, or you want to do some off-trail riding, and then MTB is your go-to.
Right.
Then once we are sorted with what kind of riding we are doing, sorted with the kind of bike that you need, the type of bike, then it comes to your height. Now, everyone is at a different height, so you need to buy a bike which is appropriate to your height. Majority of the dealers today in the premium market, or who are selling entry-level premium as well, will be able to guide you. And a lot of good brands and bicycles, they also recommend the for this height. So if you look into the specification and the size chart and find a bike size for you, they get you closer to that ballpark. So getting the right bike is important. And then finally, you know, I would say that you want to invest in a bike which is slightly more expensive than your comfortable budget, because that's how you'll ensure that you would, you know, do justice to buying that bike and to that activity that you want to commit to. Otherwise, majority of the times I have observed that, you know, cycle le liya apne budget mein tha, wo abhi dhool kha raha hai. Wo nahi ho karke, aap thoda expensive lo ke aap uski value karo. And then you'll, you know, do more riding more often. And if you're getting an entry-level premium bike, the quality of ride, it's something which will engage you to it, and you'll want to do more and more of this.
I think apart from a bike, one of the questions that I have been asked by a lot of friends is, or one of the challenges rather a lot of friends have given me is, I'm keen on cycling. I can afford what a good entry-level mid-budget bike, but where do I cycle? Becomes a question for many people, especially in cities like Bombay and Bangalore, which has a lot of traffic, or roads are not all that great, and things like that. And so my answer always is to find a stretch of a road where people are jogging in the early mornings, because that's likely to be where you can do a uninterrupted 4 to 5 kilometer stretch in one go. And once you get comfortable with that is when you can then have the confidence to graduate to a highway or something like that, which I would definitely wouldn't recommend for somebody who's just starting out. But that is just my guess based on my experience, because this is what I had done. I honed my skills on that little road behind Inorbit Mall, which is a good 4 kilometer stretch. I consider myself blessed to be able to stay there, and I really built up my confidence and stamina, and a lot of the lessons that you had given me was really mastered over there. And then I was able to take it to, say, the highways, where I was able to do 50, then 60, and then eventually 100. But that's a very Bombay-specific and Western suburb-specific answer, really. But would you have any advice on that? Is it something about taking your bike somewhere else?
It's a common problem, common issue. And if you're living in a metro city like Bombay, we'll have limitations on the kind of infrastructure that we have and the traffic that we have on the roads after a certain point in time.
Right.
So it is important that we figure out a time of the day which you'll have the least amount of traffic on the road. And a lot of times when I have done my riding, I have preferred doing it in loops. So I don't necessarily need to find a patch which is, you know, just going to take me 30 kilometers and 40 kilometers out and back. I would rather do it in, even if it is a 500 meters, if I'm getting uninterrupted, where I know that there is going to be less traffic, I can just do keep the loops, keep looping, and, you know, I'm still going to be doing my, it kind of gets monotonous at times doing it in the same place, but you know, if it's still better than doing nothing at all. There are few pockets of Bombay where we still can cycle. Worli Sea Link is one. There is going to be traffic. Marine Drive is one. Then BKC is slowly, steadily with the road construction work. Once it is over, we'll have some route to do our cycling over there as well.
The service highways the service roads on Eastern Express Highway, I think, are fantastic
For some who are going to be doing it at a slower speed. Service roads are better, or you know, a lot of riders. I have done a lot of my cycling during my cycling days on Eastern Express Highway, where you do. It was a 10 kilometer out and back, so 20 kilometers, and we just keep doing the loops, 5 loops, 6 loops a day, and then you know, we are done for the day. We do different kind of trainings. Not necessarily that we are just doing a zone 2 ride. We'd be doing our sprints also on that side of the world. And of the resources that we have, a lot of these races also at the national level now are happening in loops. Mm-hmm. It is not like you are going, getting permission, getting things regulated and everything. It gets a lot more complicated. Mm-hmm. And I personally, of these in recent times, I have been hopping to the other side of Borivali, taking the ferry and going to the Gorai Road. And,
yes.
It's, you know, you're still in Mumbai. I'm not very far from where I am. And I have a route where I can go any time of the day, except for weekends. Yeah. It's crowded because of SL World and people going to enjoy the beach, Gorai Beach or that side. Yeah. But otherwise, it's a good...
Gorai and Mud Island are both great. So again, sorry for...
But wherever you cycle, one very important thing I wanted to mention over here, please buy a helmet for yourself.
Yeah.
Buy a good helmet. Safety should always be given the first priority. And when you're riding in traffic, do go through the page which I mentioned on our website on safety tips that I have shared. There are quite a lot of them to cover it in a short span of time. But keep safety as a... priority number one before you hop onto your bike.
Yeah, 100% agreed. And apologies to listeners from outside Mumbai, because I think Miten and I are so attuned to cycling from the city that we really don't have recommendations for places to go in Bangalore, etc. But I'm sure that you'll be able to find routes like this. And I think your advice is great, Miten. Just find a patch of 500 meters that you can do a loop of, and that will itself be a great place to start. So I think we've covered, a lot of things that I wanted to ask from a basics of cycling perspective. I'm very happy that you actually ended with the aspect of helmets and safety in general. I think that's a very underrated aspect of fitness in some sense. As a person who's fallen down from a cycle multiple number of times and has had other injuries because of either mistakes or stupidity, I can definitely attest to the fact that you should always take care of your safety first, really. Helmets and a bike light are two investments that you can never ever go wrong with.
You can also add a safety tag or a safety sticker on your bike, which is with your name and emergency contact number.
Absolutely,
and so on. That can be, we don't want that anyone should get into that kind of a trouble, but if just in case, if shit happens, then you know that emergency tag is something which would
absolutely, especially if you're help. Especially if you're traveling somewhere that's slightly out, slightly remote. I think that's a great idea. So in your experience, Miten, how can cycling be part of a larger training routine? I guess the first question to ask is, can cycling on its own alone be enough? And if not, what else should people really focus on to have a well-rounded fitness routine?
In today's time and world, my personal experience, we have cyclists who are completely focused on cycling, but majority of my clients, they are, already 40 years and plus, and there are riders who are also 60 years and plus who have been training with me, and they have an active work life. They also want to do their joggings. They also want to do those other activities and live the life to the fullest. But one objective which is common with all those activities that they are doing, that overall fitness unko badhana hai, better karna hai. And everything will complement each other. So even if you are doing any other activity as a primary focus activity, if you are doing cycling will have its benefits, which will trickle down and cascade to your other activity that you're doing, and help you improve your sport and your fitness overall. And similarly, if you're just doing cycling, you need to do some weights and resistance training, right, and something. It's like mixing oil and water together.
Mm-hmm.
Most important thing over there at any given age is keeping a balance on how much work you are putting or workload that you're adding onto yourself, and are you able to recover from that? Because
right,
when you're recovering, that's where the magic happens.
Mm.
It's when you're doing that hard work and sweating it out, you're just tearing your muscles apart. That's, in fact, what you're doing at that time, you're damaging it. But it is the repair process, which only happens when you're giving it good rest and diet. That's where, you know, the magic happens. So balancing it, that is going to be very important.
Can you tell, it's interesting that you brought up the aspect of recovery, because I remember when I was training with you, one of the things that you would give me flack for the most was cycling too hard during what was supposed to be a recovery ride. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about what a recovery ride is and how they can implement it in their own routines?
Yeah, you remind me of that. recovery rides, it's something which is, we do it for all our riders. So one thing in common for all our riders, regardless to whether they are the national medalist and winning gold medals, or whether it is a fitness rider who has just joined in and he's going to be doing good number of hours during the week, one rest day is a mandatory one, and a recovery ride. It's recovery ride, I would call it one of the most important rides of the entire week, because that's where it's just to loosen up your muscles and, you know, just get add some time to your saddle, being on the saddle. But at the same time, the objective is that we only want to do as much ki jahan pe body ke upar load itna nahi aaya ki muscle tear ho, damage ho. It is, the objective is active recovery. So you know, you want to do that easy spin, and what you used to do is you used to go and smash it out at about 25-30 kilometers ka ride kar lete the aap, and I remember even the average speed used to be high,
right,
and I used to tell you that, boss,
it's a recovery ride.
Recovery ride. You can just chill, enjoy the nature, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And I normally give on those days, these are the days when we'd be working on skills, that bike handling skills, just playing around on the bike, having fun on the bike on that
right,
day.
Right.
Do what makes you happy on that day, but don't go fast.
Don't go fast, yeah. And that's interesting. So many of the people who I've spoken to have emphasized so much on this, whether they're talking about training, whether they're talking about strength, whether they're talking about cycling or swimming, that recovery is a very important part of the entire process. So, you know, so don't slog it out for, you know, 7 days a week. I think it's important to give your body a bit of rest. So then, Mithun, what are some of the mistakes that you have seen beginners and intermediates like me, apart from recovery rides, of course, make during cycling?
There are quite a few of them, and it's an ongoing process. Like even the elite rider would be making a mistake. But do you really want to make those mistakes and learn from them? Or you want to have someone to help you out with them? That's where, specifically having someone who understands the sport and has been with the sport can help you better. So I'm just trying to say that, okay, you need to have a coach, right, not just me, but there are a lot of other coaches now, good coaches in India. You can approach any one of them who has been experienced enough. But just for... Yeah, one thing what got me into cycling coaching, the thoughts which triggered at that time, kisi ko batana chahiye inko sahi karna kya hai. So I see a lot of them, they're riding inappropriate size of the bike, they're riding too high a bike or too low a bike, and then the seat positioning and is not right. Then using the right kind of gears. If you are overspinning on the bike, you know, and if you are bouncing on the saddle, you are too low on the saddle. You need to increase the resistance at that point in time. And if you are sluggish, and if your back is swaying at that point in time, then that also means that you are going too hard on the gear, and you want to keep it easy on the gears so that you can ride more efficiently. Efficiently riding is the key of. You should be spinning, rather than, you know, you really grinding it out and pushing too hard. Of course, we have a lot of variations where we do that, but we do it in a systematic method, and process is followed before we get to that stage. So try using gears where you don't have to get sluggish or you're bouncing on the saddle. And one way to do that is, you know, try to keep your RPM, cadence, revolutions per minute, at 80 plus. Because there are studies which have shown that if you are riding at a speed of less than 80, it's putting stress on your knees.
I see. Okay.
Now, there are studies, there are claims which have been made that there are riders, when we are on climb, your RPM is going to get lower. But that is for just a short duration when you're climbing. So there are a lot of things to that.
Would you say anything with respect to warming up or stretching during the ride, especially if it's a long one?
See, now it entirely depends on what kind of ride we are doing. Like if we are just going to be commuting from one place to the other, warming up, you always want to start easy and end it easy, so that you're doing a proper warm up and a proper cool down as well, which would just help you to clear your legs of all that lactic acid which is there in the muscles. And this is also going to allow you to ride the next session better.
Right.
Yes, warm up, cool down can be one. And also I see a lot of riders now, they have the recent the newbies which have come to cycling after being in that corporate grind, or that after you know, being out of fitness regime for good 20 years, 15 years, they are coming back to the sport, may it be cycling or anything else. They need to consider the difference between the internal fitness and external fitness. Now, a lot of times when we start working out, we'll start shredding out that extra fat very quickly, because we have not been doing something for such a long time and body just needed that shocker and we'll start working on it. But you, if we remember that 15 years you have not been doing anything, your internal fitness, your cardio, everything must have got deteriorated drastically. So you want to take it slow. You want to slowly build it up. Don't try too hard, too fast. We see a lot of instances which get reported. I would use the word underline, emphasize, which get reported ke, you know, people got a cardiac issue when they are doing their workouts and some stuff of that kind. These issues are common and it can happen to anyone anytime. But these get reported and gets highlighted only because, you know, it was that activity which he was doing at that time.
Right?
But it could be because of that activity it got prolonged to this thing. It's no claims that I'm making that it's a cardiac nahi hoga, but we have to be careful.
Right.
And especially when we are starting after a long break, consider the you know, the time deterioration which happened over a period of time with your internal fitness.
Right, right.
And build it up slowly. You're not in a race to, you know, reach a point in certain point. You know, mere ko ek saal mein ye karna hai, wo karna hai. You are not going for Olympics or anything that you have to work towards it. So enjoy your enjoy the process. Slow build up, rest recovery, diet sahi rakho. And keep a good balance. A lot of people, they do everything right, but they, either their diet is not right or they are not resting too well. And then the blame comes onto the activity. Of a sport that they were doing. So,
I think that's fantastic advice. It's just so much that you can pretty much use that for, you know, any sport that we are talking about. Fantastic, Mithin. I'd like to sort of, like, as we move towards the end or the cool down part of this interview, as it were, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the training that you do with Cyclozeal. So what are the various kinds of programs that you do? Who are the various kinds of riders? Who can actually join? Is it only for guys who have ambitions of cycling across America, or is it for, you know, anyone, somebody who just wants to get into the sport?
Deepak, as you have been a part of this program, you'd know that it is, you know, Cyclozeal has been always about, you know, being able to help and assist riders across abilities. That was the reason you were also a part of the program. You did not aim to be at the nationals and win the gold or smash and do race across Americas or Paris. So we have been catering this, and that was the entire objective or purpose I got started with cycling coaching, what got me into this. So I stick to that. So we still have riders who are just doing it for fitness. We have riders who are doing with some serious goals, like ultra endurance goals. they are doing 200 kilometers to 1200 kilometers of self-supported riding. Then we have had riders who have done North Cape 4,500 and 5,000 kilometers and 7,500 kilometers self-supported touring rides, but wow, it was timed as well. And then, of course, the highlight in ultra endurance has been the toughest race in the world on the bike, Race Across America, which we had Mahajan Brothers who in team of two completed that, and they were the first team to ever in Asia to successfully complete it in their first attempt and also win the podium. Then we had team of four, and then we had Kabir Rachure, who also was training with us in those days, and he was the one who was able to finish it in his first solo attempt. He was able to successfully complete Race Across America recently. Like, he happened to do even better. And yeah, we have national riders as well, so across abilities. So I have been lucky to and fortunate to be working with riders who have wanted to do cycling for fitness, or they had some serious goals. And we have trained riders from youth band, from just 500 meters cycling specialty to 5000 kilometers of cycling. Right. So it's an accumulation of a lot of things, as I mentioned earlier. Like, I've been fortunate that we had those riders so dedicated to the process, and the process that we had been following, it keeps kind of getting that validation when these guys, they do well. Mm. And we still try to work on it so we can get it more refined, get better, get our riders faster and get them fitter faster as well. So the kind of process that we follow in Cyclozeal is, like, we have a team of experts. I look into the cycling bit. Then we have Meghna Surve. She is a senior dietitian. So any of our riders who are wanting to do cycling plus they want a diet plan, Meghna, she is the go-to person. Then we have Nimish Makadia, who is based out in Baroda. He is also a certified cycling coach level 3, and he is also certified with Bike Fit, and gets a rich experience of being in cricket and being a fitness coach as well. And he helps a lot of our riders in Baroda. He's been immensely instrumental in helping Cyclozeal and the footprint that we have in Gujarat. And we have Amrita Karkhanis, the same girl who I started training with.
Wow. That's a nice
she is now a sports psychologist, and she's been helping the people across sports, not just cycling, to do well mentally and, you know, take care of that mental demons before the primary competition and so on. So it's primarily a team of four, the core team. Of course, a team of Cyclozealians, it keeps growing. And we have riders across ability. So we have someone who is just a 13-year-old, and we have someone who is 60-plus as well. So I customize their training plans. Now, when I'm preparing their training plan, there is a lot of things that we factor in. From, you know, their objective, their lifestyle, their what kind of goals that we'll be having, short-term goals, long-term goals, and then you define the process based on the periodization from, you know, base foundation period to building up towards, you know, more taking it a notch higher and a notch higher, and, you know, then that's where you start working with different variations, getting you ready for the next phase.
Right.
And eventually, you know, a process has been, fundamentally it's still the same, but it has got a lot more refined as every day. Like, there is something that every day I'm learning something new, feedbacks which I get from my riders, and you know, the improvements that they have shown. Now, every rider is different, so what may work for you may not work for someone else, and someone else, you know, what did not work for you might work like magic bullet for them, and they are just working with those workouts. But we have to keep changing this, so you keep surprising your muscles. We try to focus on different energy systems, from aerobic to anaerobic and threshold system, and work on different muscle groups by inducing your fast twitch 2As, 2Bs and slow twitch fibers. And there's a lot of thought process, overload effect and overcompensation, which is overcompensation in simple words. It is after giving that load, you give it that recovery so that that progression happens. So that's where the magic happens, when you allow that recovery to happen. So we look into it. There is a constant communication which happens with the riders. So, you know, training plan bana ke unko maine bhej diya. They get it online. We have stopped doing the personalized training anymore because the traffic conditions doesn't allow us to do that. And there are cameras all over. And if I'm going to be following the rider on my way, on my bike, you know, I'm going to be getting those penalties every time I skip a signal, which I have to do that in this profession. So now that has been off the cards. But online training is what we continue doing. And it's a customized training plan, which I send to them for 12 weeks. And there are different options from you're just doing it for fitness. And if you're doing for some serious goals, and if you're one who can afford to do it with power meter, a huge difference in how we train with power meter.
Yeah, that's fairly comprehensive by itself. Everything from basic fitness all the way up to coaching somebody for for a national level competition or an ultra ultra endurance competition or something like that. The links to all of this I'll be again putting in the notes in case any of you would like to take Mithen upon this, and I as a beneficiary would highly recommend that you do, especially if you are just getting started into cycling or just would like to take your cycling skills up a notch. So finally, Mithen, I think the last question really is a more generic one. You started cycling at a, like you said, as a fifth standard student, just wanting to beat traffic and beat the clock. And now here you are with 50 national medals, which your team has won, and running this wonderful organization. How would you say in terms of your observation, how has cycling changed over this period of about 15 years or so, both from a professional rider level and the day-to-day hobbyist riders?
Yeah, I remember when I was cycling and I was racing in my racing days, when I would be on my cycle and I'm wearing my helmet and I'm riding on the road, mm-hmm. We were getting the eye of who was this alien guy, you're kind of like, you don't belong over here. Mm. But now that acceptance is there. Now, if you look at it like every weekend or any given day, you'll see some riders on the road. They are riding with those flashing lights and helmets. And, there is a lot of acceptance. The cycling has evolved drastically over a period of time. More and more people are coming into the sport as an activity for fitness, or it could be for some serious riding. BRM has boomed big times. Braveways, self-supported rides, they have done a fabulous job in giving that exposure to cyclists. Mm. So Braveway is something which is picked up. Now people are taking up the sport and it's become a next golf. Like there were articles which said that cycling is the new golf, and it's pretty much true, because you'll meet people from all walks of life and with a common interest to be on the bike and riding with like-minded people, and it's fun to be on it. And now there is a lot of acceptance, and also people in cities, there have been times when they would just ignore you if you're on a cycle, but now you tend to get that respect from the people who are in the car, because they may also be on the road sometimes, right, or riding their bike maybe. I'm just guessing, but yeah, it has evolved big times. And the performance perspective across the world, like the equipment standards have gone up drastically, and if you look at the international level or our national level performances have been tremendously well. Mm. There is a lot of science which is now out in the open. There is a lot of information on the net, but please don't get deceived by just that information. It just is half information. It may not have that exact information that you need. So that is another part of the blunder that people, going back to the previous question, there is a lot of information on the internet, and people tend to go exactly by it, and you might be too early for that stage of training, or it might just not be appropriate for you at that point in time. Equipment standards, the entire ecosystem has evolved drastically. There are so many dealers. In cycling days when I was racing, even a small cycling equipment ka nut agar ghum gaya, so we had to wait for months to get that, and at that time we'll put in any kind of jugaar to get things moving. But now if you want it, it's easily available.
There are dedicated e-com portals selling only cycling gear, for
example. Oh, yes. Quite a few of them. And they are doing fabulous job. Like now... And each of these guys, like, it's not that people may think that cycling as a business, it's quite glorified because the bikes are expensive and everything is, it seems really premium. But people who are in that business, I get to learn from them the kind of pain that they have to go through when the cycles are sitting on their shelf for such a long time. And these are expensive bikes. You have to have so much inventory to suit someone's need who will come after maybe 6 days of you buying that bike from the distributor or the wholesale market, or it might just take another 2 years and it's still not going to move out from your shelf. So, so the rest to reward is not there. But people who are there in it, they are super passionate to be in that business.
That is true.
It's a combo of everything. So, you know, our Cycling Federation of India has been doing a fantastic job. State associations have been doing fab. You know, district associations, se leke. And the entire community has evolved over time.
Right.
From ultra endurance to racing to just fitness. And there are so many cycling clubs across cities.
Right.
Whichever city you go, you'll find a cycling club. So there are so many like-minded people.
Yeah.
Earlier, I used to feel that I'm the only selected few, may say, insane among the insane people. But now we have a lot more
insane people.
A lot more like us.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to end this, Mithin. From one insane person to a slightly more insane person. Thank you for coming onto the show. Like I said, I've been wanting to do this chat for a very, very long time. It was fabulous for me to do this with you. Different interaction from what it used to be in the coaching days. But I'd like to think that I learned as much. So thank you so much, Mithin, once again.
Thank you, Deepak. Thank you for having me on your show. And I wish that, you know, all our listeners, they find this information that we have shared is useful. And they can also reach out to me on, you know, you'd be sharing those links. So, you know, if there are any questions and if I can be of any help, it would be meaningful for me.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having
Thank
me
you so
on
much.
The show. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Mithin. A few takeaways before we end today's episode. One, and this should really be no surprise because we spoke about it for close to an hour, cycling is a great activity with many, many benefits. It helps with cardiovascular ability, body flexibility, motor skills, coordination, burning fat. Mithin even said that 30 minutes of cycling increases blood flow to the brain by 24 to 30%. So yes, overall, it's quite beneficial. Not to mention, you get to see a lot of sights and it's quite calming. Two, since it's mostly leg muscles that are being worked on while cycling, strength training for the rest of the body is important as well. As we've said many, many times on this show before, a well-rounded fitness plan is more important than doing just one activity. And third, if you're thinking of buying a bike, don't just get one blindly. There are various aspects to consider, such as size, fitting, where you plan to ride, and of course, your budget. Cyclozeal has a good guide on this, and the link for that is in the show notes of this episode. You can check out Mithin's coaching services out at cyclozeal.com, and don't forget, Cultsport themselves have a pretty neat bike now. All these links will be in the show notes of this episode. For some super fun group classes, the best gym workouts, and a home workout experience like no other, download the CultFit app today and become the healthiest version of yourself. And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. This is Deepak Gopalakrishnan, aka Chuck, signing off. Thank you for listening to One Rep at a Time.